Now, Bosa, I decided for today, with your rishus, that we'll learn a separate sugya that forms, I think, a unit unto itself. And that's the sugya here on Daf Kuf Yud Amid Beis, the sugya of Kaved. So if you're counting down from the top of the page, it's about 7 lines down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down. The Gemara until now has been discussing something called Chal. The Chal, which is a sugya unto itself, is the udders of a cow that are saturated with chalav, with milk. And the question is, what are the laws as far as getting rid of the chalav so that you can cook that part with basar? And now the Gemara sort of makes this transition from the case of Chal to the case of Kaved. Kaved, like chal, is saturated, but not, obviously not with milk, but rather with dam.
Correct.
So, Amalei Abayi L'Rav Safra. Rav Safra was on his way on a trip to Eretz Yisrael. Hopefully he'll stay for at least 6 months. Okay. Ki salakt l'hasam. When you go up, you know, slika means to go up. Eretz Yisrael is gvoa mikol ha'aratzos. When you go up to Eretz Yisrael, boy minayhu. Find out amongst the scholars in Eretz Yisrael, which is very interesting, that the Chachmei HaTalmud in Bavel were very interested to know what the Psak Halach would be on any suffix. They want to know what was going on in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Is Kavda Ma Atun Be? What is your opinion regarding Kaved? Now, the Gemara doesn't go into too much specific detail to tell us exactly what was the nature of Abai's question. Obviously, we're talking about kaved that was taken out of an animal, and it was a kosher animal. I mean, otherwise there's nothing to talk about. And therefore, the kaved is, like any other part of the animal, something that you can eat. On the other hand, you need what's called malicha to remove the dam. So what was the issue that Abai was so eager to find out what the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael would say about? So let's take a look at Rashi. And believe me, you know what? I'll tell you what we'll do. If it's okay with the Olam, let's just read through the Gemara, just simple, superficial, without really understanding the Gemara, and then we'll go through Rashi more carefully. So Ki Solik, so Rav Safra is in Eretz Yisrael, Ashkei L'Rav Zrika. He encounters Rav Zrika and he asks him this question. Now you can imagine that Rav Safra is a shliach of Abaye. He has to come back to Abaye and find out what's going on here in Eretz Yisrael as far as Kaved is concerned. Amar Lei, so Rav Zrika responded, Ana Shalki Lei L'Rav Ami V'Ochel. Shalki means I cooked. We'll soon see that the word shlika means more than just bishul. It means a long processed bishul, something like our cholin. And I cooked this for Rav Ami. He was one of the gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. V'achal, and he had no hesitation in eating it. So one thing becomes clear here that was totally unclear from the get-go is that the question that Abai was interested in had to do with a kaved that was cooked. That much I know. Exactly, was cooked alone, was cooked with other pieces of meat, that we have to see as we go along. But at least it was cooked. And again, another question we'll have to ask is, was it cooked before Malicha or after Malicha? Fine. So Ki Asal Gabe, so Rav Safra returns to Bavel, and he now wants to fulfill his shlichus and give Abaye the update on what goes on with Kaved in Eretz Yisrael. Amalei, when he told this whole story about Rav Zrika to Abaye, Abaye was not impressed. He was not a happy camper, as we say. In other words, you did not fulfill your shlichus. You asked a very interesting question, but in my mind it was never a question to begin with. I had a more complicated, sophisticated question which you didn't clarify for me. L'meisar nafsha lo kami boy. What happened in the case of Rav Zrika and Rav Ami was that Rav Zrika took a kaved out of the animal and he cooked it. And there was no doubt in my mind, says Abaye, that you're allowed to eat such a kaved. We'll have to see exactly why. But lemeisar nafshi lo kam yivoyle. I didn't have any doubt about the possibility that by cooking kovid alone, the kovid would become asur. That somehow the kovid would now absorb the dam that is right. Let's start with basics. What we know from Masechet Chulin until this point, and this is really the fundamental principle that we have to know, is that if you have a relationship between two foodstuffs in which they're together, they touch each other, or perhaps they were rinsed together, even soaked together for a long time, in all those cases, that's not going to cause what we call plata ublia. The tam is not going to be transferred from one food to the other without what?
Cooking.
Correct. We need chom. We need heat. Right? If there's no heat, if it's only tzonen, there's not going to be a transfer of tam. The only exception to that rule will be the case of what's called kavush. Okay, kavush harehu kimavushal, and we've discussed that in the past, but that's not for us now. Leaving out kavush, right, as classified information, the universal principle is that there's no nesinas tam, there's no pleita, spitting forth the tam, there's no blia, receiving the tam, without chom, without resichlus, without heat. And that's the point of bishul. That's where bishul comes in, because once you cook things in a pot, then as a result of the heating, there's a transfer of tam. So that's what Abai wanted to know. Now, in the case where you took chal and you cooked it, and there's nothing else in the pot, just water, right? So although the heat is obviously going to transfer the tam, but transfer the tam to what? I mean, the water we're going to throw out anyway. You know, that's not expensive. So what was the case? Well, Rav Zrika was so excited when he was able to report back to his boss, you know, to Abaye, that I found, Rav Safra, that Rav Zrika cooked a chal. Okay, so he cooked a chal. Where's the transfer of tam? You following? I'm asking just a, you know, a the question. I'm sorry, did I say Kal? Kal is last year, the previous week. I mean to say Kaved, right? So he cooked the Kaved on its own. So what's the issue over here? If he cooked the Kaved on its own, to what other foodstuff was it? Oh, the pot itself. Yeah. Okay, so maybe he was asking about the status of the pot. That's a brilliant answer. What's the status of the kli? Was the kli bolea the dam that came out of the kal? But from the kavod, I'm sorry. Every time I say kal, I mean kavod. Okay. Okay, but the answer to that, David, is that keep in mind that what did Rav Zrika tell Rav Safra? That he ate the chal. You know, we're not talking so much about the kli as about the chal itself. So what was the havamina that the chal would be osur? I mean, again, this was not Abai's question, but you see from the fact that Rav Zrika got all excited and Rav Safra got excited that he could report back from Zrika, that Rav Zrika was telling us some sort of chiddush. What was the chiddush?
Maybe that once the blood left the kaveh, so now the kaveh was cooked in blood.
Right, awesome. I would say it a little differently, Yechiel, but that's really it. That maybe the kaved is now bolea. Excuse me. Start again. Maybe the kaved is now polate its dam, and then as the cooking continues, it is now shuv choser ubolea sadam. So the very dam that leaves the kaved goes back into the kaved. And that itself could have been, at least in the mind of Rav Safra and then Rav Zrika, a very intelligent question. Should the kaved, even when cooked alone, become asur by virtue of the dam that in itself is bolea? But Rav Bose, again, if you were a cheder bacha, you know, if you were a child in cheder, what question would you now ask? No. That's already very sophisticated. I don't know if, you know, when I say a cheder bach, I mean a child of 5 years old.
Yeah,
a child of 5 years old wouldn't be so sophisticated. Most of us, you should know, if you took a seker, would not know that very sophisticated principle. But Rabosai, what question would you ask?
Are you allowed to eat it or not eat it altogether? Because if you're not able to...
Well, wait a second. Why are you asking about the dam of the kaveh that went out of the kaveh and then came back into the kaveh? Ask me about what? But the dam itself. I mean, what's the status of the dam itself? So here we have a very... The dam in the kaveh. What's the status? I mean, we know that the Torah asks dam. And the kavod should l'chora again. If I'm a 5 year old cheder bach, should not the dam of the kavod should be no different than the dam of any bal chai, which is prohibited with an iser kares. Again, I'm not just saying that every time you eat dam you get kares, but there are situations where you do get kares for you know, there are many different categories of dam. But dam shanefesh yotzeis bo es chayv kares. That's not for us now. That's a whole sugya. But be that as it may, the premise here seems to be a very odd premise. Very paradoxical. As long as the dam was in the kaveh, ein po baya, we're okay, we're in the clear. But the problem is that the dam went out of the kaveh through what? Through Bishul, because Bishul always creates plato. Now it goes back into the kaveh through a process of blia. That was the issue. It wasn't the issue for Abaye, but that was the issue for Rav Safra and Rav Zurich. So here at this point, Rabosai, we have to open up Rashi. You can't move from the spot here without Rashi. Rashi says the following: Kovda ma atem noagim. But we had a slightly different girsa than we have in the Gemara. Muta levashel b'kedera o osur. Are you allowed to cook this kaved, or are you not? By the way, what sense do you get from Rashi? And now I'm really crossing paths with the, I'm arguing here with the Rush. The Rush is a whole different reading of Rashi. But on a straightforward level, does Rashi mention the word malicha here? No. I think you'd have to admit to me that until the Rush came and reinterpreted this Rashi, the impression you get is that Rashi is talking about a kaved in its natural state. And it's got dam balua, right? Not dam balua, it's got its natural dam. And there was no malicha. And yet, Rashi says that the issue is whether or not you're allowed to cook the kaved. Now, let's say you wanted to eat raw kaved, uncooked. That would be no problem. Even though what? There's dam inside. There was no malicha. Says Rashi, you know what the issue is? Mipnei shepole dam. The problem is not the dam that's saturated within the kaved in its natural state, but because once you subject the kaved to heat, the heat causes a plato, and that dam, once it's polate, becomes problematic. Why is that so? The afalpi shekulo dam. Now those are very strange words. What do you mean afalpi shekulo dam? Okay, let's grant that kaved is full of dam. We know that. How many people here in this room ever saw Heksher Kovet, the process of being Mashir Kovet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It really depends on your age bracket, sort of. I remember when my mother used to do... Your grandmother, okay, good. So you saw it. That's a tradition. You see, today, you just go into the supermarket and you buy Kovet and that's it. You cook it, you eat it, you know, it's already cooked. You don't even have to cook it. That's it. But back in the day, there was such a thing as tzli. We had a separate, you know, kli that had holes in it, so that while you roasted the kaveh, the dam would go down. But Rashi doesn't mention a word about any sort of process, not of kashering and removing the dam. And Rashi goes on to say, afal pisha kulo dam. And we could add a few words to Rashi. Nevertheless, what?
Mutter.
The kaveh is mutter. See, Rashi doesn't fear ice. He doesn't add those words. But that's what Rashi seems to be saying over here. That the dam itself is mutter. Afilu haki, nevertheless, li achar shepiresh v'yotza, harehu dam v'yosur. Rabbanu Shalom, I read this Rashi a dozen times and I didn't understand. Two questions on the Rashi. First of all, the Rashi tells you, he admits that the covet is kula dam. So why isn't it awesome? And secondly, Rashi tells you that, oddly enough, even though the dam is mutter, ain't no awesome, but once it's polate, then it becomes awesome. Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't understand. If the dam itself is mutter, why does it become awesome when it's polate? And the truth is that for this we have to turn back to Daf Kuf Tes Amid Beis. You see, I fooled you a little. I told you the sugya starts on Daf Kuf Yud Amid Beis. That I did for pedagogic purposes. But if you go back to the Gemara here on Daf Kuf Tes Amid Beis, and if you happen to have the page that I gave out today, you will see it on the top of your page. Yeah, who is this woman named Yilta? I mean, you know, the Gemara doesn't often quote women in halachic discussions. See how liberal the Gemara was, right? Yeah. And here in this neighborhood, you know, this is very appropriate. So her name was Yilta. Who was she married to?
Rav Nachman,
correct. She was not only married to Rav Nachman, she had even greater yichus because she was the daughter of the Nasi, the Rosh HaGola. And even though Rav Nachman was the Av Beis Din, above the Av Beis Din was the Rosh Gola. But Rav Nachman was the Edim, his Shver was the Rosh Gola, and his wife's name was Yolta. Okay? And what did she have to say? She said, Michti, this is one of the most famous statements in Shas, certainly in Masech Tachun, Kol the Yasser Achmona, right? This is not Kolman the Osir Achmona, the Tava, right? Sharolei Kavasi. Anything that's Osir in the Torah has a parallel that's Mutter. The Torah never excluded something completely. Whenever I see this Gemara, I'm reminded of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish said that you're allowed to eat strawberries. You know, there were those poskim who wanted to say that strawberries, by definition, are Orla. Why? Because since the strawberry keeps recreating itself, and the stem is a new stem, you could never get past the third year or the fourth year of Revai. So they asked the Chazon Ish, why was he eating strawberries? You know, today people don't eat strawberries because of the bugs problem, but back in the day the problem was Orla. So the Chazon Ish said, again, I can't testify that he actually said this, but they claim he said that it can't be that the Torah created something that's Orla by definition and could never ever be eaten. Because again, so I had to say, I had to reinterpret the Dinim of Arla in order to justify why strawberries are not Arla. Anyway, so the Torah says the following: Kol di Asar Achmana Sharle Kavase. Asar lo Dam, right? Dam is Asar. So what kind of Dam could be Mutter? Rebbeinu, I rack my brains. I'm trying to come up with some Dam that you're allowed to eat. And the answer is Sharalan Kavda. You're allowed to eat the Dam of a kaved. Then the Gemara goes on to give other examples. For example, dam nida. Where could you find another dam that's mutter? So the Gemara quotes dam tohar. I don't understand. Rashi here talks about dam besulin. I don't know what dam besulin has anything to do with nida, because dam besulin is a whole different type of dam. But the more simple pshat in the Gemara is dam that comes from the makar, but during the Yemei Toah, right? If she gives birth to a female, there's 40 days, give birth to a boy, there's 80 days of dam toah, and so forth and so on. So there is dam nida that's mutter. And then chelev behema, right? You're not allowed to eat chelev chaya, but you're allowed to eat chelev behema.
No, the other way.
What did I say? You're allowed to eat chelev of chay, you're not allowed to eat chelev behema. What did I say?
The other way.
All right. Whichever way it is, it's incorrect. Or it's correct. So Rabosa, you know, I was thinking that today you can buy something that supposedly tastes like clams. You know, clams are unkosher fish. They have all these kinds of things. You know, you get kosher lobster and kosher clams and stuff like that.
Kosher bagels for pizza.
Yeah, that's the Yemenite pita, maybe, I don't know. But I once asked a friend of mine, who's a Baal Tshuva, if there's anything he misses from the old days. Mm-hmm. So he told me lobster. Now, if you would ask me, I never had the schus of eating lobster. I would have told you, that's like the last thing in the world I'd ever want to taste. So he said to me, Rabbi Berzon, you don't know what the taste of lobster is like. You can't even imagine it. Now, I asked a few other Bali Chuba, they didn't know what the man was talking about, but he told me, you know, he's, I guess, a connoisseur of lobster, that you're missing something. You know, you're really missing something. So I said to him, but you can get fake lobster. He says, yeah, that's fake lobster. It's not the real thing. So why does the Gemara establish that dam kaved is mutter? So I want to point out, the Masifta is very helpful here, that there's a machlokas on this point between Rabbeinu Bechai and the Levush. Again, you're talking about centuries that separated the two. Rabbeinu Bechai was not a direct Talmud of the Ramban, but indirectly through the Rashi, he was a Talmud of the Ramban. So you're talking about 9 centuries ago or more. The Levush lived 5 centuries ago, so there are probably 400 years that separated them. But the fascinating thing about Rabbeinu Bechai, which you'll see very rarely, is that he comes up with a drasha that doesn't appear anywhere in Chazal. You know, there's a whole discussion about whether or not we're allowed to darshan the Torah in a halachic discussion. I'm not talking about Ashkofa now. You know, Satma could have their drushes, Lubavitch has their drushes, Mizrahi has their drushes, everybody has a drasha from the Torah. That doesn't bother me so much, although maybe Satma's drasha bothers me a lot. But what about halacha? And here's a case which I want to point out to you that you should put down in the annals of halachic history, where Rabbeinu Bechai comes up with a drasha that we're not familiar with. The Gemara doesn't tell us how they know and where they derive the conclusion that dam kaved is mutter. And he says, the pasuk says, rak chazak levilti achol dam. We have a principle in drashas that every rak and every ach in the Torah is a miut. So he says that this rak is a miut, and this miut is coming to be mamait the dam of kovet. Now he adds two words which I found fascinating because they reminded me very much of our Rashi. Remember Rashi that we're studying here on Kuf Yud Amid Beis says that kulo dam. And Rashi left out the word mutter, but apparently the kula dam was enough for us to understand that that kavod is mutter. And that's going to lead us to the levush. But be that as it may, Rabbeinu Bechai is also, in a sense, on Rashi's wavelength, because he says that kavod is unique. Meaning, the question that Rabbeinu Bechai no doubt asked himself was, okay, rak is coming to exclude, but how do you know what it's coming to be mamayit? Maybe it's coming to be mamayit the dam of a para, of a shar, I don't know what. So the answer is that what's unique in the whole, shall we say, constellation of all Bali Chaim and dam and all Bali Chaim is that we have one organ of the body which is kulo dam, which means apparently that if you're going, this is like the Chazanish and strawberries, if you're going to apply the principle of isur dam to kaved, then throw in the towel. We probably will never be able to eat kaved. Even Sli maybe won't be successful in removing all the dam. It's kulo dam. So in that sense, we have something that is ripe for a miut. Why is it ripe for a miut? Because it's kulo dam. We have a real serious problem with kaved. So that's the pasuk rak. Comes the levush, and he says, "Delo asra Torah el adam hanishpach kimayim." In other words, in the same parak in Parshas Re'eh, which is the parsha of Kasha, the two parshas of Kasha in the Torah, the Shmini and Re'eh. So there, the Torah says, "Lo soch lenu." What should you do with dam? Ala aretz tishpachenu kamayim. And with regard to every other dam, which is called a liquid in the classical sense, and it's very easy to pour it onto the ground, in the case of kaved, the dam is unique. What we say is kulo dam means more than that. It's not just the volume or the amount of dam that's in the kaved, but the way that the dam is actually absorbed in the kaved. It's karush v'omed begufa shel behema. It's sort of coagulated in the liver, in the kaved, and eino nishpachas kamayim. You can't pour it like you would the dam in any other dam. Like, I'll give you an example of, I think, what the Levush might be saying. The Gemara in Masechta Ksubos has an entire hakira about dam. Sometimes dam in the body of an animal is what's called chiburei mechbere, and other times it's called mifkad pocket. Are you familiar at all with that terminology? So how would you say, Zev, what would you translate as chiburei mechbere? That's a little easier. Mifkad pocket is a little more complicated.
It's actually embedded within.
And why is it embedded in the organ itself? What's it doing for the organ? What does blood do for the organ? Why do we need the heart so badly?
Part of its life.
Right, the blood has to circulate throughout all the organs and bring oxygen to all the organs. That's called kibure mechbere. And the Gemara says that if you destroy or extract the blood, that's kibure mechbere, yachayv mishum chabura. Rabbeinu Tam says the chabur is a told of Nethilas Neshama, because it's the blood that's giving Neshama, ki adam u'nefesh, is giving a lifeblood to the entire organ, or organism for that matter. But then there's something called Mifkad Pocket. Mifkad Pocket means that there's certain blood that's
running down.
It's kanus viomed, Rashi says. That means it's collected, it's not circulating in a membrane of itself. And basically, in this case, for example, the Rambam holds that in the case that we're dealing with in Ksubis, that we're dealing with the malach of mefarik. Now, mefarik means when you have one thing inside another, and you break it in such a way that you can remove the inside one from the outside one, that's called mefarik. That's a told of dash. But the Rambam says that if dam is mifkid pocket, that's not called mefarik, because then the dam is not, absorbed in the arteries of the organ, but rather it's kanus v'omed, it's sort of separated, and all you're doing here is you're slicing a membrane, and as a result you're freeing the dam comes out. That's called, in the language of the Torah, which the Levush makes such a big deal about, nishpach kamayim. Right? If you have a balloon and you fill it up with water, you know, you just puncture the balloon and the water just comes flowing out. So too, in the case of Mifkad Pocket, if you puncture this membrane, the dam just comes flowing out. So you could always slice something. That's what a surgeon is meant to do, to cut an artery, right? Hopefully he cuts the right artery. If he cuts the wrong artery, then you'll have to come to my class on Shabbos morning, this coming Shabbos. That was a little bit of a plug when I talk about medical malpractice. If he cuts the wrong organ, you know, can we sue him for damages? Or does he go to the Erev Miklat if he did it for Shogeg? If he killed it, if his patient became a victim, patient victim. So that's what the Levush claims, that with regard to dam in general, with the exception of Kaved, the dam itself is nishpach kemayim. All you have to do is break the membrane and the blood comes flowing out. That's not going to happen in the case of Kaved. And then the Levush goes on to say a shtickle Torah, which is right now classified information, because I shouldn't have given this to you, because he's revealing the secrets of our sugya. In other words, what the Levush is going to write now is based on his understanding of our sugya here in Chulin, Daf, Kuf Yud Amud Beis. Okay. So let's go back to Rashi. Rashi says, the afal pisha kulo dam, which is a code word for what? The sugya daf kuf tesam in beis. That's how I'm learning Rashi. Namely, that dam kovet is mutter. The Torah never asked the dam kovet. It's the only exception to the rule of iser dam. Nevertheless, afilu hachi li achar shepiresh v'yotza harehu dam v'osur. Now, let me just tell you this. Rabbeinu Tam Shita, this sugya, is that although dam kaved is asur, once it leaves, once it is polate, it's niflat from the kaved, what does it look like at this point? Identical to every other dam. So the Rabbeinu Tam is going to learn, and Emirat Hashem B'Linetta will go through the Rabbeinu Tam inside in this very long Tosis Kavda. Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that midrabanan, they made a gzera in which they took dam that's mutter min haTorah and they acid it. Why would they do such a thing? Obviously, because it looks identical to any other dam. Correct? So if you were to eat, let's say you took a bite of the kaved, that would not be a problem. But if the dam of the kovin was removed through a process of bishul, now the dam is, you know, is no longer connected, like, you know, like a fetus connected to its mother through the umbilical cord. Now the dam looks like all other dam, and in the mind of the onlooker, of the spectator, it looks like dam. He's going to think it's dam. He doesn't realize that it's dam kovin. It's identical to any other dam, and there are bananas. So again, Rabbos, I just want to keep in mind as we go through Rashi that Rabbeinu Tam, the Enikel, he's of the opinion that this dam that's poresh through bishul from the kaved is only asur midrabbanan. Clear? It's exerid drabbanan. And the logic really weighs in with Rabbeinu Tam's approach, because this dam was asur, excuse me, this dam was mutter in the kaved, right? First episode, all of a sudden, it should become awesome when it leaves the kovet after Plato. The answer has to be what? Durabban. There's a gzera durabban. Rashi, I don't. Again, we'll see the rush, but before we see the rush, if you read Rashi carefully, I don't think he's telling you anything about gzera durabban. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, afal pi, right? Afal pi, shekulo dam. Which means, as we saw already in Rabbeinu Bachai, means it's mutum in a Torah. Afilu achi liachar shepirish v'yotza. So I would have added, as Rabbeinu Tam says it, asru rabbanon es adam liachar shepirish min rabbanon mishum gzera. That's not what Rashi says. I don't think it's fair to take Rabbeinu Tam's interpretation and push it into Rashi. Rashi says harehu dam the asur. Meaning, what transition or what birth, if I could say, took place with this pleta? You know, we usually think of a pregnant woman who's poletes her uber, and now the uber is a chai, right? We have a birth of a child, mazel tov, right? Like today in shul, they gave a big mazel tov. One of the young Avreichim, his wife gave birth to a boy. Yeah, mazel tov. Everybody went wild. This. I don't know his name, because he doesn't usually daven in our minyan. He usually davens in a later minyan. But a lot of people in my minyan know him, and therefore there was a big to-do, a big excitement. And that's called a birth. That's pleta and a birth. Right? The child is now an entity. It's no longer uber yerech ivo. The child now, so to speak, figuratively stands on 2 feet as a separate entity. Rashi is telling us that as a result of this pleta, that the dam was poresh from the kovet, harehu dam.
And until then, it's not dam.
It changes its status. In other words, you know, if you want to talk about a chalushem dam as a chepsidi surah, Rashi's saying that with the prisha of this dam from the kovet now, it's almost as if, Rabosa, if I can give a mushel, imagine if you have something that's being protected. The dam is being protected. What protects the dam and pushes off, shields it from a chalushem isur dam? It's the kaved. The kaved itself is protecting it. Because as long as the dam is inside the kaved, says Rashi, what is it called? It's not called dam. It's called what? Dam kaved. Dam kaved is a separate entity. The Torah was matir dam kovet. Says Rashi, that heter of dam kovet only applies as long as you can identify the object as dam kovet. But once the dam is removed from the kovet and you cut the umbilical cord, at this point, what emerges is a chal shem dam. I'm tempted to think that dam sheporesh min hakovet, according to Rashi, is asur midoraisa, not like Rabbeinu Tam. And I got very nervous when I thought of this idea, because I thought that I was going to get, you know, they're going to put me up in front of a firing squad. You know, how could you possibly say such a thing? So I always, this is my good buddy, the Encyclopedia Talmudit. And whenever I come up with some wild idea, like for example, I wanted to suggest once that min bimino, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not batel, would apply even to yavesh biyavesh. And I said to myself, could you say such a thing? And then I looked in the encyclopedia, and sure enough, somebody says it. So I was excited. So somebody, I think, holds this way. He writes the following. Hakoved hudam, hakoved kulo dam karashu vitam damlo, and it has the identical tam of dam, vatora hiti rasa. Okay, and for some reason he's unaware of the Rabbeinu Bachai, so he quotes the Levush, Shalom Asritola Dama Nishpach Kamayim, Vakovi Korish Vyomed, Begufa Shabema Vena Nishpach Kamayim. Oh. Nechleku Rishon. Yesh Sovrim Shemikevon Shat Torah Hiti Rosso, Hareu Mutta Afili Achar Shapirish. That makes sense. If it was Mutta before, it's got to be Mutta now. It's not that. The Eno Osir Kishapirish Elami Divrehem Gzera Mishum Shardam. And this is footnote number 183. Rabbeinu Tam. Good. Then he says, the Yesh Sovrim Shali Achar Shapirish Domo Osir Menatora. V'chala Ocha Mimena Kazais Loke. So if you look in the footnote, he says, Rashba. Now I don't have a Rashba here, so I'd like to look up the Rashba. But in my humble opinion, I think it's Rashi Shita. Because why doesn't Rashi mention anything? He doesn't whisper a word about a Gzera, about the fact that it tastes like dam, it looks like dam, and you would confuse it with dam. And not only that, Rashi's language is very peculiar. He says, Harehu dam. What do you mean, Harehu dam? And before it wasn't dam? The answer is, before it wasn't dam. It wasn't a Chefza Shel dam. It didn't have the status of a Chefza di Sura. So I just want to tell you, I was very happy when I found this about 5 minutes before we started the shiur, because otherwise I was afraid that, you know, I was saying something that was absolutely, absolutely unacceptable. So on both sides, that is the pshat in Rashi, Lefi Ani Yizdaiti. We'll see how the Rosh reinterprets Rashi. But first, let's take a look at Rabbeinu Tam. Kovda Ma Osun Be. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Kula Hachshmaitita Iri Bekoved Shalom Nimlach. There was no Malicha. And that certainly is intuitively the way we interpret Rashi. Rashi doesn't whisper a word about Malicha. But Rabbeinu Tam argues that logically it's got to be before Malicha. And why is that so? The E Basar Malicha, if it was after Malicha, Vishahiya Bimelach, you know, you put salt on it, and it was sitting right in Melach. Pshita deshari levashla. There's no doubt about it. It's like any other classical case of Malicha. You take any part of the body of the shchuta, and you subject that piece of meat to Malicha, and then after that, cook it gizuta heit. Deshari levashla b'hadi basar shal yidei Malicha yotzkal adam. Okay, these are more the inner mechanisms of Malicha, which we haven't learned yet. But suffice it to say that in Rabbeinu Tam's frame of reference, you can have an analogy, an equation between Tzli and Malicha, and in both cases, it's polate, it's dam, and now you can take it and eat it, or cook it for that matter with other pieces of meat. So what is the suffix here of Abaye? Avo below Malicha miboile, without Malichi shari levashel im basar. To Shema, we might consider the following logical possibility. Dam HaKovet, Afal Pisha Piresh, Mutter, even though Dam, according to Rabbeinu Tam, not the way we interpret it, which is the Rash Peshita, which we identify with Rashi, according to Rabbeinu Tam, once the Dam is removed, it also remains Mutter. So therefore there's no Iser in the Dam. So what's the problem? What is the Iboilahu that the Gemara is raising? What was the issue of Kaved? Right? And we're fast-forwarding, he says, V'nira, the Midaraisa Pshitale. That was not an issue, the Dam HaKaved Mutter, Afalpi, Shapirish. Because when the Torah was Matir Dam, in the case of Kaved, that had to apply even after the Dam is removed from the Kaved. Ela, I'm skipping a line, Elamid Rabbanon Miboile. The whole issue was, would there be a Gzera de Rabbanon? And therefore, Nesar Mid Rabbanon, Dama Yotzim Menu, you can Aser. And therefore, again, whether or not you take out the Dam through Bishul, or you take out the Dam through any other method, whether it be Tzli, whether it be Malicha, as long as the Dam is Be'en, then Gzera Otu Shar Dam we have to assume that people will make this confusion, and they will derive the wrong conclusions if they see you eating dam. They don't know that dam kaved is the exception to the rule. And he gives some other examples. So Rabbi said, let's just summarize Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Lefiani is daiti. Means both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam agree that the sugi here is addressing the case of kaved without molicha. But the issue is, what's the status of the dam shapirish? The dam, as long as it's inside the kaved, is mutter. Once it's poresh, does it become osur? Rashi seems to learn that the dam, once it's poresh, becomes osur midoraisa. It's a whole new entity. It's no longer dam kaved. It's been removed from the kaved. There's no longer the kaved to protect the dam, so to speak. And Rabbeinu Tam is learning that the suffix that Abai is vacillating about is, would the Rabbanon, and did the Rabbanon institute a gzera to asa the dam once it's clearly dam, meaning when you see it as dam and it could be confused with other dam, did the Rabbanon asa the dam? Now Rabbosai, according to everything we've seen until now, would it make a bit of a difference whether or not he cooks the kaved without malicha alone or with other pieces of meat? Well, it all depends. If the dam goes out of the kaved, now what happens the moment it leaves the kaved? Through bishul, it's polish. It becomes asur. Then, if it goes back into the kaved,
or each other pieces,
right? And that's what Rav Zrika was nervous about, and that's what Rav Safra thought was the issue of Abaye. Then the dam that now became asur goes back into the kaved, and the fact that it goes back into the kaved is enough to generate an iser of dam in the kaved. We don't say that the kaved now can shuv chozer and protect the dam. It's no longer called dam kaved. You might think, well, now that the dam went back into the kaved, so in that case, it's shuv pam, it goes back to its original state. We reverse the process back to its original state of dam kaved. No, that's for sure not possible. Once the chal shem iser is chal mechefta, it's chatichoras the velo, it's dam. And once it's balu again in the kaved, it certainly asks the kaved. So the Gemara is going to tell us that that's not so, and Abai knew it wasn't so. If Rav Zrika thought that he discovered America by finding out that the dam doesn't go back in, it's in a Mishnah and so forth and so on, and Abai never had a doubt about that, because the Kovet is too busy, he's preoccupied in the process of what? Right. Of Plato to possibly be involved in the process of
blood. What about the problem that is being cooked in blood? Not that it goes, that it gets absorbed, but it's being cooked in blood.
So the cooking itself is not osur. Why is cooking osur? That's only if you have milk and meat.
No, but to cook something together with something kosher together in a treif or pot, right? So that becomes treif. So you're cooking something in blood, which is treif.
Well, I'm not sure that you're not allowed to cook something in a treif or pot. Maybe you're not allowed to eat it. Well, that has to do with Tam Lufgam, right, if it's a Ben Yomo or it's an Eina Ben Yomo. But the cooking itself, I thought you were saying something else.
I'm saying that
the cooking itself is
it.
Awesome.
No, I'm saying you shouldn't be allowed
that's
to eat
what
it.
Saying.
Right, but why shouldn't you be allowed to eat it? Because you want a taina that the... That is Bolea, right? That's the only reason. But it was mutter inside. Why should it be osur outside? So you have to come to this new chiddush that the shame dam b'toras iser emerges with the plato from the kaved. That's what we've been trying to say for the last half hour.
Right.
Now you have to ask yourself the following question. Oh, if through bishul the kaved is polate its dam, will there be the reverse process in which now the kaved is going to be bolea the very dam that it gave birth to? And that's going to be the issue of Rav Zrika and Rav Safra, but not the issue of Abai. Abai was absolutely convinced from the get-go that even though the blood became also when it went out, but it doesn't answer the kaved because it didn't go back in. Because kevan de taru liflod is low bali. That's going to be a physics of halom.
Even the tam doesn't go in.
The tam doesn't go in, right.
Now
the dam doesn't go in, the tam and the dam doesn't go in, nothing goes in. Again, it could be, I don't want to get into this now, that according to Rabbeinu Tam, at least, if the dam itself is awesome in Rabbanan, it could be that it's only awesome in Torah's Be'en and not in Torah's Tam. But again, that's for graduate school. We're barely in college, you know what I'm saying? All right. But I wanted to ask the following question. So what then was the issue of Abaye? If Abaye had no problem with the Kaved itself, what did he have a problem with? So let's read the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Ki osel legabe omer le lemesar nafsha lo kami boile." I never had a question of the covering if it's cooked alone, but ki kami boile. What was my issue? That was only lemesar chaverta. So what was in the pot? Rabbi said, "What was in the pot? Not just." The covet alone. This was not the lonely liver, LL, the lonely liver. This was a covet together with other pieces of meat, all of which were shchuta were heter. And now the other pieces of meat will be bolea the dam. And the suffix now of Abai becomes crystal clear. And that is, what's the status of the dam, which was mutter as long as it was in the covet in its natural form before Bishol, now that the Kaved was pulled, it's Dam, it becomes Dam Shepirish Minah Kaved, does this Dam become Osur? According to Rashi, perhaps it becomes Osur Midraisa. According to Rabbeinu Tam, Al Kol Panim, it becomes Osur Midrabanan. And therefore, there's no doubt that if I postulate that the Dam Sheparish is Osur, then the Shar Chatichos Habasa B'Kedei Rezu all become Asuros, because, unless the Shishim, because they were Bolea. They were bolei adam. What's the difference between the kaved itself and the other pieces? The other pieces of meat are purely involved in what process?
Bolea.
Whereas the kaved is involved in a process of plate.
Plate and then
bolea. So at this point, Rav Safra pounces upon Abaye. Because in truth, we have to ask ourselves the question, how did Abaye know that the kaved itself is mutter? Maybe the kaved is not only polate, but it's also bolea. He must have known it from a Mishnah, and that Mishnah itself says that other pieces of meat in that kedera are bolea. In other words, the Mishnah itself, which Abaye is apparently basing himself on, assumes that the dam kaved, once it's porish, is also, and therefore the other chatichos are ne'esaros. This nan, we have a Mishnah, eino ne'esaros. That means if the kaved itself is alone and it was cooked in a pot, it becomes ne'esaros. Is lemesa chavta nami lo tiboile? I have the answer in that very same Mishnah about the other chatichos in this pot. Why? Because the Mishnah itself, the Snan, says HaKaved Oseres V'Eino Neseres. It means that the blood that comes out of the Kaved is Osur, and it's Nivla for the other in the other Chatichos that are cooked with it, but it itself is only busy with Plata, and the Mishnah concludes with Neshi Poletes V'Eino Bolas. In other words, Plata and Blia are two opposite actions, and they cannot take place at the same time. You know, in baseball terms, we would say you're either the pitcher or the catcher. You can't be both. Of course, you can throw yourself the ball, but they're going to throw you out of the court. Okay. Mipneshi poletes v'eina bolas. David, by the way, we never learned this sugya together, did we? No. Okay, but you're a little bit familiar with it, though, right? Okay, good.
Doesn't know what baseball is.
All right. So this is called Tarut. Now, I was a little bit surprised personally. Nobody seems to ask this question, but I was bothered this question. We already learned this, if you remember. I don't know why the Gemara, Abaye has to discover a whole chiddush here. If you turn back the clock for just one moment to Kuf Ches Amid Beis, you may remember about, I would say about 12 lines down from the top of the page, we had a sugya in which a piece of meat, nafal letok yoro rosachas, you know, you got hot milk, and meat fell into hot milk. And the Gemara says that the meat is asur, because it was bolea chalav, right? And the milk is mutter. The milk is mut. So the Gemara asks the following question. Wait a minute, what do you mean the milk is mutter? When the meat absorbs the cholov, then it automatically becomes what? It becomes basar b'cholov, which is nevela. So now, the time that when, you know, the cholov that went in to the meat now comes out again and should aser all the other cholov b'min b'mino, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara answers, no. The nivla bola, niflat lo polahat, that the meat is involved in the process of bliya, and therefore it cannot be polate its time back into this mixture. So you see clearly from the Gemara here on Daf Kufches, and this is the Gemara of Rav, this is not a Mishnah, that you have two different occupations. One is called bliya, one is called plita. And choose your occupation, but you can't be involved in both. So I don't know why the Gemara needs the Mishnah. This, by the way, is a Mishnah in Masech the Trumos, in order to establish that I need the Torah Livla lo polit, or I need the Torah Livla lo polit. Maybe the Gemara thinks that, okay, something that is being polea can't be polea, but maybe something that's being polea can be polea. I don't know. Okay, but we're going to see now that Tosfos Dibur HaMasel Disnan has a whole new take on this Gemara. This principle that we saw here of Mibneshi Poletes Eino Bolas has a very unique application here in the case of Kaved. Because Tosfos asks the following question. Keep in mind, Rav Safra is arguing with Abaye. He says to Abaye, wait a minute, you sent me on a shlichus all the way to Eretz Yisrael, you had a question, and you didn't know the answer to that question. Well, why didn't you know the answer to the question? You knew that Kaved itself alone is mutter because of the Mishnah in Trumas. So why didn't you read the whole Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Oseres v'enin eseres. So you knew, obviously, that the other piece of meat are Asuros. So Tosfos, here, Dibur HaMasel Disnan, on line 1, Vetema, asks the following question. Wait a minute. Rav Safra knew this Mishnah. So as soon as Abai sent him on the Shlichus, he should have asked him from this Mishnah. Meaning, again, whether the Shlichus was on Kaveh that was cooked alone, or Kaveh that was cooked with another piece of meat, it matters not. This Mishnah that Rav Safra has in his back pocket says, Oseres V'Einan Eseres. So what does V'Einan Eseres mean? In the Kaveh, if it's cooked by itself, the lonely liver, right? So the Mishnah itself says that the lonely liver is mutter. Why didn't Rav Safra stand up and throw the books at Abai from the get-go and say, Abai, what's your question? Here's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, so when he had the question later on of whether or not this kaved asses the rest of the k'derol, the other piece, and then he quotes, well, the Mishnah says, Vienna, excuse me, Oseres. But when he asked him the question about the kaved itself alone, he should have said to him, Vienna Neseres. Why didn't he quote that Mishnah? Tema says to us, Rav Safra Meikara Mai Sovar, Shalohevi as a Mishnah. In other words, whatever Rav Safra understood or misunderstood about Abai's dilemma, either way he should have quoted this Mishnah from the get-go. He should have said to Abai, don't send me all the way to Eretz Yisrael. You know, today you get on an LL plane. At this time of year, I think it's about, you know, it's about $600. You know, it's not so expensive, right, if you get the right ticket at the right time, you know. But back in the day, you know, imagine what it was to go from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. It was a big trip. It was an undertaking. You had to hire, you know, a boat and then this and that. I don't know if anyone here remembers in the days of Zim shipload. You know, they used to come to Eretz Yisrael by ship. My brother, my older brother Hananya, when he came to Eretz Yisrael to learn here in Kfar Chassidim about 50 years ago. I don't know how many years ago. More than 50 years ago. Whoa. Yikes. About 55 years ago, he came by ship. You know, ship was the way to come. You know, planes were, nobody could afford a plane. Certainly not a yeshiva bach. Anyway, so you have to send them all the way to Eretz Yisrael to ask a question when the answer to the question is written in the Mishnah. And I mean, Manavshach, the answer is written in the Mishnah, whether it's the kaved alone or it's the kaved with other pieces of meat. Comes along Tosfos and he says that the suffix here of Abaye was because it was a case of shluka. There are different cases of bishul. There's one case called classical bishul, and there's one called one case called shluka, shlokos. So if you take a look at line 4 in Tosis, we're not going to go through all of this Tosis, but he says, what was Rav Safra's impression? Okay. Now, in order to appreciate what Tosis is saying here about shluka, we have to go back to the previous Tosis. Divra Maschil Kavda. So far we learned the first half of Tosis, which is Rabbeinu Tam. But then in the second half of Tosis has V'od Yesh Lomar. So if you want to follow in the original Tosis, Dibra Masl Kavdo, so it's about, I would say, 10 lines up from the bottom, V'od Yesh Lomar Binyan Acher, he says he has another pshat, Dibolo Malicha Pshita. Abai had no doubt that if you take the kaved in its natural form and you cook it, it's definitely asur. In other words, the halach of dam sheparish, in the case of kaved, asur, whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, that was upgraded. That was understood by Abaye from the get-go. But rather, this was a case of kaved that was subjected to malicha. You had to remove the dam. Al yidei malicha hu demi boile. This is not Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam. Kavan, what was his suffix? I mean, everything that's natural in the animal, any part of the bottle, what do you do with it to get out the tam? You do malicha. Vusep is a kaved, he had a suffix about whether malicha is meaningful. Kavan sheyesh bekaved rov dam. As we said before, the kaved is saturated with dam, and the dam is dam karush. Shema eini yotze kulo al yidei malicha. Abai was vacillating as to whether or not the malicha process is meaningful, is sufficient in the case of kaved. And what that means is that perhaps there's still dam left in the kaved after post-malicha. What's going to happen now when he takes the kaved and he cooks it? The leftover, the residue dam is now going to remove, is going to come out of the, you know, from its the walls of the kaved, and it's going to aser either itself if it goes back in, right? If let's say you had a touch of havam, you know that it's the kaved is polluted and bolded, or at least grant me that it's going to be nivla by the other chatichos. And if it's going to be nivla by the other chatichos, then it's asur. There was never a question that dam sheporesh min hakaved is asur. The issue is whether malicha is effective in the case of dam kaved, which is kula dam, or malicha is not effective and there's still dam left in the kaved. Stuff. Now we can fast forward to Tosis Dibra Maskel Desnan, and Tosis says four lines up from the bottom of the page, Avalhoya Savur, what was Rav Safra's impression? Shabai hay mesupak bishluka im neseres or einu neseres. Because shluka, as we said before, is a long process of bishul. Like the cholent that I gave that example. I don't know what other examples could we give, but something that you cook for a long period of time. So it could be that Abaye knew from the get-go that dam sheporish min hakaved is awesome. It could be that Abaye knew from the get-go that through the process of malicha, we can assume that you're allowed to cook this kaved and don't worry about any residue of dam. All that was okay. But what happens if instead of cooking the kaved, you do what? You do shlika. And with shlika, the basar shaluk is going to continue the process of pleita and blia for a long period of time. So as the process of bishul begins, what is the kaved doing? What is it preoccupied with? It's being polled. There's no time here, there's no zman panui here for blia. But if you take that bishul process and you extend it for a long period of time, which is called what? Shlika. Then what's going to happen is at some point the meat becomes bored or tired. You know, it's interesting that when you learn chulin, meat becomes a personality with its own character. You know, it's got a mind of its own, as we would say. So at some point in the shlika process, the meat turns around and says, you know what? I'm finished with this, please. I've been pulling my dam in this case for like an hour. You know, now I think I should start being bolea. You know, now I've been giving, now I want to take back. So that was Abai Sofek. Is Memela, Rav Safra didn't understand. You know, he initially thought that Abai Sofek was whether or not the covet itself would be bolea. Then he came up with this insight that we're talking about Shlika. And if that be the case, if we're talking about Shlika, then we might have a problem with the Kaved itself. Because even though the Mishnah says HaKaved Eino Neseres, but that might be in the case of Bishul, right? The Mishnah in Trumas doesn't mention Shlika. And therefore, in the case of Bishul, Eino Chinami Eino Neseres, the Kaved alone, the lonely liver, as we said, would not become Asura, because it's only Bishul, and if it's Bishul, it's busy being polated, it doesn't have time for Belia. And therefore, Rav Safra thought that would not calm Abai down, the Mishnah would not calm Abai down. But then, when he saw that he could calm Abai down by quoting this Mishnah as referring to the case of Shlika, that part of Tosfos we have to get to, then he quoted the Mishnah, and the Mishnah said that even in the process of Shlika, when the Kaved is alone, it doesn't become Asura, because even in Shlika, it still continues its process of Plita, and it's not Bolea even in Shlika. But as far as the other pieces of meat, this Shlika is able to remove the residue of Dam, even after what? Even after Malika, and therefore the rest of the Kedera becomes Asura. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop. What's nice about this sugya is sort of like it's a self-contained unit of learning. Yes, Alan, you wanted to ask me something?
Is there room for a shita to say that the kaved itself is by virtue of the fact that all this what ordinarily would be done is a kaved or whatever.